All right, guys, let's take a look at Matthew 11 today. So this is out of my comfort zone. I'm just going to let you know. So I've got a sermon sitting here, and I'm going to save it for next week. So we're in this series about Monday worship, how to worship God on Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Saturday. And we're going to talk about seven ways that we do that. I'll tell you what, why don't we review just what that looks like for us. So our purpose as a church, you remember we started learning that last week, just this very short abbreviated form of our church purpose statement. You remember what our purpose is as a church? To exalt God together. You guys can you repeat that one? Our purpose as a church is to exalt God together. And we do that through three main ways, and those three main ways are worship, caring, and seeking the lost. So one more time, we exalt God by worship, caring, and seeking the lost. That's a summary of our purpose statement as a church. And it's longer than that. If you open up the inside of your bulletin, you get the whole thing. But basically, we're going to break these 7 weeks down into these three categories. And by worship, of course, all seven of these weeks we're calling Monday worship. They're all forms of worship. They're all forms of exalting God together. But worship, we're going to spend the first 3 weeks of this series talking about prayer, family discipleship, and purity. These are ideas that are entirely focused on God, that we're putting everything else aside and just giving God our full attention. So when I say worship, that one word worship in our purpose statement is actually a summary of just specifically talking about those things that are especially focused on God, even though the rest of these are worship. So our second category is caring. In the second 3 weeks, we're going to talk about edifying the body that is building up other Christians, our work, I mean literally your job, how your job can be worship, or if you don't have a paid vocational job, how your housework can be worship. Thank you, St. Francis, Brother Lawrence, the practice of the presence of God, worshiping God while he's washing pots and pans. And compassion, acts of compassion towards others. We're serving other people, but in so doing, we're exalting God through that. And then our last week is going to be seeking lost, and we're going to talk about evangelism. So that's where we're heading. I don't want you to forget that. But as we've been talking this morning, and we've been talking about outreach to these kids who are finding refuge in Romania from their home in Ukraine. We've had Promotion Sunday this morning, and this passage came to mind where Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. So that's just a passage that I wanted to go over, and it ends by talking about the verse that we put on our hospitality tent this week. So if you would, look at Matthew chapter 11 with me, and we're going to read verses 25 through 30, and then I'm just going to add a few thoughts, a little sermonette, if you will, and then we're just going to close in another song. Matthew 11, 25 says, "At that time, Jesus said, 'I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.'" Lord, I pray that you would work through this passage today. I don't have a plan, and so I just pray that you would speak to us through your word today. And I pray that our hearts would be changed because of the time we spend in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to take this in three parts, and I actually want to take the middle paragraph first. The middle paragraph says, no one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. There's only one way to know God. There are many religions in the world. There are many places that people look for truth. But Jesus says, nobody else knows the Father except the ones that I reveal him to. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We need to have a clear picture in our mind of the desperateness of the situation that we live in. The gospel is the only hope people have of salvation. There's not like a, well, you know, if you want to be a Muslim, you can be a Muslim and you can get to God that way. If you want to be a Buddhist, you can get to God that way. If you just want to be a good neighbor, just be a loving person, you know, that's kind of your way to God. Jesus says that doesn't work. No one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. If we don't come to Jesus, if we don't come to God through Jesus the Son, we don't know him, no matter what people may claim. That's what Jesus says. You can disagree with Jesus, but as for me, Jesus is my Lord, and that's the word that I accept. So if you think about the world that we live in, and you think about the people that aren't following Jesus, they don't know God. They don't have eternal life. And they're not going to know him until they come to him through Jesus, the Son of God. Now, the interesting thing about that is that the people that end up coming to know the Father are not necessarily the people that you would expect. It's not necessarily the people that are particularly good. It's not necessarily the people that are doing the most charity work or the people that are, you know, in the halls of government, you know, trying to do things. It's not necessarily the scholars or the people that have studied philosophy, you know, just sitting in a room thinking about, well, who do I think God is not going to lead you to know God. Jesus says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. God just got a kick out of saying no to all the people that thought they knew something, all the people that had studied, who considered themselves kind of the cream of the crop in society. He says no to the people that think that they're really good people. Instead, he takes the people that were lined up here just a moment ago getting those little booklets. They're not scholars. They're not, you know, world changers. They're just people that come and receive by faith the truth that's presented to them. We come to know God through Jesus because Jesus reveals God, not because we're smart and not because we're good. We come recognizing that Jesus had to die in our place. That's not a particularly boastful thing to claim. Like, well, why are you going to heaven? Well, I actually did a lot of bad things, but then somebody else died for me. That's how we receive that eternal life. And if we're not willing to accept it as little children, if we're not willing to accept it by faith, with humility, by grace, recognizing it's not me, it's the grace of Jesus that saves me, we're not coming to God. We're never going to know him. The passage I was going to preach today about prayer is centered around the Lord's Prayer. And there's a little bit at the beginning Jesus talks about, but Jesus teaches us to pray to our Father in heaven. And that's revolutionary, you know, to think of God as a Father, but it's also very humbling because we have to approach him as a child. We have to approach him not knowing anything on our own, but only what he's told us. And the promise, what he offers to us, is something that we all desperately need if we'll have the humility to admit that we need it. Jesus doesn't say, come to me, you who work really hard and are accomplishing great things. Or come to me, you who, you know, are on the top of the, you know, the podium for the, the grandstand at the Olympics. He doesn't say, come to me if you've done enough good works. He says to me, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's a remarkable claim for somebody that calls us to take up our cross and follow him. He doesn't necessarily call us to an easy life, but he calls us into grace that is free. He says, take up my yoke. And that's an old kind of a rabbinic sort of idea where it's like you're taking the yoke of your rabbi. You know, your rabbi gives you this, you know, it's a farming metaphor, like, you know, kind of pulling that. But it's, take my yoke, learn from me, take me on as your teacher, and I'm going to show you rest. I'm going to give you rest for your souls. Does anybody feel that need for rest for their souls? We put that up on our tent today, or this past week. And if you go out there today, you'll see it's still up there. We call it the hospitality tent. It's a place for rest. And that's a perfect picture of what Jesus offers. Because we are burdened by our sin. We're burdened by the grief that we have to deal with just going through the loss of loved ones, the loss of relationships, just the pain of aging and not having the abilities we used to have. And we carry the anxiety of trying to take care of our families, trying to set them up well. And we carry all these burdens as people that are desperately trying to make it, desperately trying to show that we can do this, we can get through the life that we have set before us. And Jesus doesn't say, well, you know, we'll see about that. Let me give you a few more tasks to do and see if you can measure up to that. Jesus says, come to me, and I will give you rest. I know that your soul is weary. I know that you're tired today. And I didn't come to burden you with more things to do. I came to save you. I came to take your burden. And that's what Jesus did when he died on the cross and rose to life again. He took the burden of our sin, took the burden of our death, and he gave us eternal life in its place. So I wonder where you're coming from today. And maybe you like the sound of Jesus giving you rest, and yet you're reluctant to come to him as a child. You're reluctant to just say, God, I need you. I don't have the strength for this week. I don't have the righteousness to impress you. And just coming and resting in his presence and knowing that he is good, and knowing that he's done everything necessary for your salvation so that you don't have to strive to impress him. In fact, all those things that you've been trying to do and with your family and with your job, those things that you've been trying to carry those on your own, he invites you to unload those on him and just come in your weakness and let him carry you. Jesus says, there's no one who knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. That's an offer of eternity. You know, if you can imagine the scope of who God is, you know, we usually come to God with our very finite conceived ideas. But Jesus offers us God as he is the eternal God, holy and eternal, our Father, and also the Lord of heaven and earth. He invites us out of our little burdens, our little struggles, into the rest of his eternal presence. And I don't know what this might give you this week. I don't know where you're coming from. I don't know if you're dealing with sickness or fears, anxieties, or just uncertainty about the future. But Jesus invites you. My prayer is that Jesus would draw you into his presence and give you rest by spending time with him today. Let me just close us in prayer, and then we'll sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus. God, we are weak. We don't pretend to be strong in your presence. We don't pretend to have it all together. We come because we need you. But Lord, we're thankful that Jesus comes to invite us into your presence like children. And I pray that if there's any reluctance, anything we've been holding back from you, either because we're afraid or because we're too proud just to lay it down, I pray you give us the grace by the power of your Spirit to find the peace of a child in the presence of their father. Thank you, Jesus, that you came to be our friend, that you came to reveal the Father to us so that we can have that rest. Amen.